Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams, where the air is pure ethereal, laden with the breath of flowers. They are blooming by the fountain, neath the amaranthine bowers. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often hindered on my journey by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way. But is always bright. I am drinking from the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've tasted life's pure river, and my it's satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures, or a dawning rich and gay. For I've tried the way before thee, and the glory
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's sermon is titled Faith Living, Faith Giving. I will answer the question, what is faith living? What is the difference between living by faith and our initial faith in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? The New Testament authors give us an important clue about how to live by faith as strangers in the world today. They keep pointing us to the Israelites' poor example of living by faith in the wilderness under Moses, after they were miraculously delivered out of Egypt by the hand of God. The Holy Spirit is telling New Testament believers not to fall into the same example of unbelief as the Israelites. The Israelites' unbelief started after they initially believed Moses by putting the blood of the unblemished lamb upon the doorposts of their houses. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as Paul is writing to the Gentile church in Corinth, and I emphasize the Gentile church. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This stern warning that takes us back to the Old Testament is repeated several times in the New Testament for our admonition. The admonition is to the believer, not the lost man. Almost the entire adult generation of Israel failed to enter the Promised Land because of their constant murmuring, fornication, idolatry, and tempting the Lord. They were delivered out of Egypt. However, they failed to enter Canaan land except for Caleb and Joshua. The New Testament Canaan land or Promised Land is the millennial kingdom of God, the 1,000-year kingdom that Christ will establish when he returns to this earth. Remember what the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy kingdom come." The honor to rule and reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom and to attain a crown is a privilege to those only who live faithfully after they initially put the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God upon the doorposts of their heart. Eternal life on the new earth in a new created heaven after the old is passed away, and which we see in the book of Revelation chapter 21, is a gift received by our initial faith in the work of Christ on Calvary. The millennial kingdom, however, is a reward based upon our faith living as pilgrims in this current world upon this current terrestrial globe. The Israelites failed in living by faith after they initially believed Moses and being eyewitnesses to the amazing miracles of God and his utter destruction of Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire. Believers in Christ are called upon to walk by faith, not by sight. So enjoy today's sermon as these things are explained further. Faith Living, Faith Giving, Part 6.
During the time of Moses, when you have the 12 sons of Jacob, God told the Levitical tribe, that's why you have a whole book called Leviticus, it's all the priestly duties for the tribe of Levi, one of the children of Jacob. And Jacob was the son of Isaac. And so you have these two priestly tribes. So they're comparing and contrasting these two tribes here. Verse 5, I'll read it again. "And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a command to take tithes of the people according to the law," to Moses' law, that is, "of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendants is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise." They're saying something is unique about this Melchizedek. There's something, God, if Abraham was tithes to this Melchizedek, he has a prominent position. And so we learn more as we go down here. It says verse 7, "Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. It means Abraham was the less, and he was blessed by Melchizedek, who was greater than Abraham. And here, men that die receive tithe, but there he received them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who received tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek yet met him. Now, Abraham wasn't Levi's father. But in scriptures, your forefathers are always called your fathers. So Levi was the great grandson of Abraham, right? Because Abraham's son was Isaac. Isaac's son was Jacob. Jacob's son was Levi, plus all his other brothers, Reuben and Joseph and all the other brothers that were part of the family there, 12 sons. It's a little complex. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So there was the Aaron high priest and the Melchizedek high priest. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertain to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, not Levi, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Okay? Judah was not to be a priest in the tribes of Israel. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect by the bringing in of a better hope did, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So what that is all saying is saying that the blood of bulls and goats that were brought to the priests for year after year after year by Israelites had to be done every year for the forgiveness of the sins for that past year. You had to bring bulls. And that testament, that Old Testament, the Old Bible, the Old Covenant, is now under the hands of a New Testament made by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is now the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. As the Son of God, as divinity, He has no beginning, he has no end, just like Melchizedek had no beginning and has no end. He had no descendants, he had no lineage. And so Jesus is the high priest. He offers the blood, his blood, upon the mercy seat. And that is a new priesthood in this New Testament. And Christ is our high priest. And he's in the temple in the Holy of Holies chamber, sprinkling his blood upon the mercy seat for your sins and for mine. Amen. And as God was merciful to Israel for their rebellion, he's merciful to you and I for our rebellion. But we need to ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have to bring, we confess it, he sprinkles the blood upon the mercy seat for our sins. And so he is our high priest. We don't have to kill a lamb. We don't have to bring a lamb to a temple. You don't have to bring a lamb. Aren't you thankful that you don't have to walk a little lamb into the church building here and have me slay it here and roast it on a fire and then walk into a temple and hope, you know, I do it right and get your sins forgiven, okay? It's all done by Jesus. Amen? And so, this Melchizedek is a type of the Lord. And Abraham recognized that. And so there's this comparison. So we're not going to go into Roman numeral 3 until next week, but we'll bring this to a close next week. I want to read you something. If you have your Bible still open, turn to Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, verse 3. Okay, verse 3. Jude is a small book. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what I'm going to read to you is an excerpt from D.M. Pan. He says, "The bedrock on which we stand, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, is, according to Jude, a deposit so infallible, so divine, that we have to change nothing. It was once given, once for all, once forever, not discovered, nor invented or evolved, but delivered," the Bible tells us. "A written revelation, bodily deposited, that has survived all error, all corruption, all apostasy, so as to admit of elucidation and examination or explanation, but never of addition or doubt. New discoveries in the faith are always possible. New discoveries in the faith are always possible. Just as telescopes grow more powerful in the hands of the astronomers, who themselves grow more skillful, will disclose new worlds hitherto invisible. But those worlds are always there. What have we seen in our day and age? We sent up a Hubble telescope so we can go deeper into space to see more galaxies and solar systems and nebulas and constellations that we never could see from the earth. Why? Because the clouds, the air, light pollution affects our visibility. So we put a telescope, a $1 billion telescope, up in the sky so we can see further into the constellations. Could we have done that in the days of Galileo? No. We didn't have that kind of power. We see, you know, in the last 100 years, the improvements of telescopes over the world. So again, new discoveries in the faith are always possible. Just as telescopes grow more powerful in the hand of the astronomers, who themselves grow more skillful, will disclose new worlds hitherto invisible, but those worlds were always there. An astronomer can discover a new star, even a star of the brightest magnitude, but he cannot create one. So the constellation of truth overarching us is the identical constellation, unaltered and undimmed, on which the apostles gazed. Means you may not understand everything you read, okay? That's what the big problem with changing these Bibles is. Just because you can't make heads and tails and you got a PhD in divinity, you're a doctor in divinity, and just because you can't understand what the King James Bible may be saying somewhere, doesn't give you the right to alter the Word of God. Because you didn't build a big enough telescope to look into the pages further to see the truth that God is trying to reveal. What I know today is not what I knew 30 years ago. I was a pup when I got saved. I couldn't tell you if Jesus was coming back or not. I just knew I was a sinner and I wanted to cling to God and get saved because I knew I was going to hell. I couldn't tell you if I was a post-millennialist or pre-millennialist. An astronomer can discover a new star, even a star of the brightest magnitude, but he cannot create one. So the constellation of truth overarching us is the identical constellation, unaltered and undimmed, on which the apostles gazed. Therefore, if it is not Roman tradition, therefore it is not Roman tradition or Anglican or Baptist or Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Puritan or Brethren or Quaker which we seek. For all that is good in these traditions is already in the book, and all that is evil we do not want. God has deposited in our hands the full orb of revealed truth once and for all. We are challenged to keep our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, open to new truths embedded in the Word of God. For those adventurous enough to gaze the heavens for the spiritual quest of the unknown galaxies of golden nuggets of truth. And so God wants us to dig down deep. You don't find gold just skimming the surface. Okay? Those panhandlers who went, panhandling in the rivers trying to find the little nugget of gold, they starved to death. You had to start digging, right? And looking for the big veins of gold. And you discover one, is there sure to be another? Yes. But what do you have to do? You have to start digging. You have to start digging. And so we're exhorted that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's something that we have to contend for. We have to dig for it. We have to open up our eyes and ears to hear it preached and meld it together. You know, some people talk about how our thought processes work. We have little pigeonholes that we put little thoughts into, you know, and then sometimes you can blend some of the boxes together when this seems to go along with this thought over here. And at one point in time in your life, you didn't know those two things. Those two thoughts went together. And so we have to understand we're going to grow. We have to grow in the faith, grow in the faith, grow in knowledge. Got to keep that mind working. Got to keep that mind working. Longevity, one thing good about longevity is if we work our minds and keep our minds sharp, I want to, I know you want to, stay sharp right until the day you die, right? That was, Dr. Dixon was amazingly sharp right to the last breath. And so we just got to keep our minds sharp, keep focused on the Word of God, and ask God to give us new truth and delve into the Word of God. And so we learned about Melchizedek. We learned about Abraham. We're going to learn next about faith-giving. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you for our congregation here. I pray your richest blessings upon their lives, Lord. I pray that you would help them to grow in their faith. Lord, I pray you be with those that are traveling, those that are not able to be with us today. Give them traveling mercies, and Lord, allow this church to prosper and grow. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.